Title of this message from the life of Jacob and Joseph is God is King. We've seen a lot of the history of Jacob and Joseph in the recent sermons that we've had, which are there to teach us and to encourage us in our lives. Because they didn't have easy lives. And they might well have asked, and probably did many times, and we ask at times, what is God doing? Well, today we're going to see what God is doing. The story today from this passage in the book of Genesis is really perhaps one of the best illustrations in the Bible of that verse in the New Testament. All things work together for good for those that love God, who are called according to his purposes, his plan. We see all the bad things at times and we think, how is this working out? But God promises that he will make it work out. The bad things will turn out to be good things, the best things. And that is God's promise. The chief character in today's story from the Bible, from the book of Genesis, is no longer Joseph. It's actually this man. Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, quite an old man now, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. He was the one who had received all the promises that God had given, right from the time when God promised a rescuer for Adam and Eve, when he promised never to destroy all the earth again by flood, and always to keep his watch and his care of the earth. That was to Noah. He promised to Abraham that he would make him a great nation, though Abraham had no children at that time. The promise came down to Isaac, through Isaac to Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And as we read in chapter 46, there were 70 or so in Jacob's extended family by this time. The beginning of a great people that no one could number. Jacob's other name was Israel. God gave him the name Israel, which means one who wrestles or struggles with God. And that describes Jacob, because he did. He had lots of struggles in life, and I'm sure struggled in his mind with God. He was a man of faith. He was one of what are called the patriarchs, the fathers, in the line of faith after Abraham. Yet one who had many troubles, and I think was a gloomy sort of man. Some of us are by nature more cheerful. Some of us by nature are on the gloomy side. We must never make the mistake of judging a person's faith by how big the smile on their face is. They may be in the midst of all sorts of trouble and feeling very down and gloomy, and yet still trusting God in the midst of that. The songbook of the Bible, the Psalms, are full of that sort of thing, where the one writing the poem, the Psalm, cries out, you know, to God in distress, in the darkness even, but clings on to God in faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So remember that. It's not having a big smile that tells us, or tells anyone, that your faith is truly in God. Jacob was a gloomy man. His sons came back from their second trip to Egypt, where they'd gone to get food because of the famine. This time they came back and things were different. For they didn't come back just with their donkeys and sacks of grain. They came back with a fleet of wagons, which were Egyptian wagons, pulled by the Egyptians' animals. I don't know whether they were donkeys or horses or cattle, but anyway, they were pulled by something. All the supplies they needed were with them. But more than that, the brothers, the 10 brothers who had gone, came back with a message. Joseph, the one that Jacob thought for 20 years now, he thought he was dead. But they said, Joseph is alive. And they told him everything that Joseph had told them. I wonder, did they tell him about how they had sold Joseph as a slave? How they had lied to Jacob, their father, about him and said that he'd been eaten by a wild animal? I wonder, was that a time when those brothers made a fresh start with their father? It doesn't say in the Bible. It tells us they told him everything Joseph had said. Well, perhaps. But poor old Jacob had difficulty believing this. It says in the Bible he was stunned. He couldn't believe it. But when he saw all the wagons from Egypt come with a message that he was to go and to see his son at last, then for a time I think he smiled. And Jacob had great joy. Even here you get a hint of his character, though, his nature. He says, Joseph is alive. I will go and see him before I die. You see, he's had so many troubles in life, and perhaps it is that it was his nature as well to look on the gloomy side. We say looking on the glass is half empty rather than half full. I'll go to see Joseph. And then I'll die. But even for him there is joy. He who thought he would never have joy again, who said, everything is against me. All these things are against me, he'd said. Life is against me. Now he's going to see Joseph again. Now God is revealing his kingship, his control, his ordering of all these things to bring about blessing and joy for Jacob. So he sets out on his way. And he's on his way to Egypt. But his nature gets in the way again. For it seems, well, not seems, it was, that he was afraid. He started to be afraid to go. Despite all that he'd seen, despite Pharaoh's wagon sent to bring him to see his son, he was afraid. He had fear in his heart. Oh dear, I've done it again. Pretend that's an E. As I get older, the forest and the trees get mixed up a lot. He was afraid to go. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly, clearly, why he was afraid to go. But God spoke to him in a vision on the way. And God said to him this. God said, I am with you. I am with you. So perhaps he was afraid that he was leaving God behind by leaving the land of promise. Canaan, where he had been a nomadic herder, and his fathers before him, Abraham and Isaac, was the land that God had promised to give them as their own one day. Perhaps he was afraid that I'm leaving Canaan. I'm not acting in faith. Maybe we'll never get back here. Perhaps that was in his mind. But God says, Jacob, I am with you. I'm going with you to Egypt. And then he said, I will surely bring you back again. So you're not leaving the land of promise. This is part of my promise. I am with you. I will go with you. I will bring you back again. Perhaps he was fearful that it might all turn out to be a horrible joke and that Joseph wasn't alive in reality. But God says to him, and you will see Joseph. You will see Joseph. So God encourages him, I am with you. And after they had gone a long way, the Bible tells us that Joseph himself came. He would have had, I expect, a royal chariot, our equivalent of a limousine. And along came Joseph himself to meet him. Joseph wouldn't wait. Joseph wouldn't stay and wait for his father to come the whole distance. Joseph comes and greets Jacob. Jacob's a shepherd. A shepherd that's been doing well, but the famine has knocked things around business-wise, the drought. Here comes the prime minister, second only to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the greatest nation on earth. Here he comes in his royal chariot, in his finery, and he's coming to this shepherd. Jacob hasn't seen him for 20 years. What will happen? Joseph leaves his chariot, rushes to his father, puts his arms around him, hugs him and weeps. He cries. Tears of thankfulness. Tears of loneliness gone forever. He has found his father again. And Jacob, his son. There are proper times. There's nothing sissy about a man crying. There are proper times for a man to weep, and only a hard-hearted man doesn't. I think it wasn't just Joseph who wept. I'm sure Jacob did too at this reunion. He was fearful to go, but joyful at the end. He had found his son, and he was alive. God is king. God is keeping his promises. God is working things out. What is God doing? What he always does. Caring for everything. Caring for the world. Caring for his people. Caring for his promises. Working them all out. In the midst of strife and suffering and all the sins of the world, he is king. Then a remarkable thing happens. They're in Egypt and now to be presented to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was thought by the people of Egypt to be God, to be a god. They thought that Pharaoh was a living god amongst all their many gods. And they worshipped him. His word was law. He was the mighty one. And they were the mightiest nation on earth. They had invented mathematics, science, medicine, beyond anything that had been seen. They were the superpower of the age. And now, Jacob is going to be brought in and presented to Pharaoh, the king. What would he say? Would he really accept us? Will he let us stay here? Jacob comes in, the country farmer, before the greatest king on earth at the time. And he's brought in by his son before Pharaoh. And the first thing that he does is remarkable. It says, Jacob gave a blessing to Pharaoh. Jacob the shepherd comes to the king of the greatest nation on earth, who was thought to be a god, God incarnate, in fact, God living. And Jacob says, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God of my fathers, bless you. Pharaoh, he was saying kindly, I'm sure, and he meant it, but you need the blessing of God. It's not we that need your blessing. God who made all is greater than any man. He is the true and living God. And Jacob gave his blessing to Pharaoh there. And Pharaoh accepted it. Pharaoh asked him, it was hot day there in Egypt, so he's being sand. Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? I guess one of the things you ask an elderly person sometimes. Same as he asked the sons, what is your occupation? How old are you? And Jacob says, I'm 130 years old. Few, we wouldn't say few, but he said few and hard, difficult, have been my years. Not as great as those of my fathers. You see his gloomy nature? Here he is, he's seen his son, he's in Egypt, he's brought before the king as a VIP, he blesses the king and then says, but my years have been few and hard. For he looks at the glass half empty all the time. Though he was a man of faith, though he was one of the patriarchs, though he really did give a blessing to Pharaoh. And after that he blessed him again and went out. The greater gives the blessing to the lesser. Jacob's God is king, not Pharaoh. Pharaohs have come and gone. In Egypt there is the Valley of the Kings with their tombs and pyramids, hundreds of them, all dead, all their treasures looted over the centuries, their hope of eternal life by riches around them and by appeasing their multitudes of gods, gone. Nothing much left. God is king. God gives the blessing. Which brings us to something else. And that is the subject, the culmination really, of this part of the story. Rescue. Jenna used that word in talking to the children earlier. God was sending a rescuer. God, in fact, sent many rescuers. He promised to Adam and Eve to send a rescuer. Joseph was one who was sent ahead into Egypt, not the way he would have liked, perhaps, sent ahead into Egypt as a slave, then as a prisoner in jail, not for doing anything wrong, but for doing good. He was sent ahead that he might rescue his family. There were all his brothers. There were 11 brothers. There was his sister. There was all his in-laws and all the grandchildren and great-grandchildren and Jacob his father. More than 70 people came to Joseph in Egypt. God had prepared the way to rescue a great family. But there is something else. Because Joseph is a figure, if you like, a shadow going before about the great rescuer. For in the same way that Joseph was mistreated, accused falsely, death was plotted against him, so it was with Jesus our Lord. Unlike Joseph, Jesus actually died on the cross. Because he is the one that was promised long before to Adam and to Eve and all through the scriptures to be the great rescuer. He, and not Joseph. Joseph points us to Jesus, who is the great rescuer. He was sent on ahead. Now God would be thoroughly just righteous and good and fair, if he sent the judgment on the world straight away. But he sent on ahead Jesus to suffer and to die, but to rise again so that he could be the great rescuer, not of 70 people in Egypt, but of millions, hundreds of millions, billions perhaps, in this world. And that includes you. The Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You and me, God sent his rescuer. The story of Joseph, the story of Jacob, points us forward to Jesus, the great rescuer. He is king. God is king. And the Bible, as it gets clearer and clearer and sheds more light into the New Testament and along it, and into the book of Revelation, that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God himself incarnate, not Pharaoh, who the people thought was a god, but truly God himself, Emmanuel, God with us. Even when God spoke to Jacob and said, I will bring you up again out of Egypt, there was a foreshadowing of Jesus, a foreshadowing of the resurrection. For we know, if we read further in the Bible, in Genesis, that Jacob did not return to Canaan alive. Nor did he die immediately, as he gloomily thought. He lived 17 years there in blessedness, with his family around him, in prosperity and safety. Golden years for him. But he died. His body was taken back for burial. His descendants came back later in great trial to re-inhabit the land. But Jesus said, when challenged about the resurrection, he said, do you not know the scriptures? He said, God spoke and said, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. There is a resurrection. And you and I will share in that if we trust in God's rescuer, in Jesus, the Son of God. He is the great one. He is God's King. Let's pray together. Blessed Father, we thank you that you are the King, that you are in control, that you are making all the troubles of this life work out for good, to those who will love you, to those who will trust in you and commit themselves to you, knowing that they cannot, we cannot of ourselves please you. We cannot make amends for the bad things we've done. But you, beyond all human hope, through Jesus, offer us forgiveness, eternal life, peace and prosperity at last, not in Egypt, but in your new kingdom, in the new heavens and the new earth, in heavenly places, through your grace. We do pray that you'll help every one of us here, old as Jacob, young as the littlest child, to trust in you and to be safe. And to be saved and happy at last in Jesus. Help us as we continue in our lives day by day. We all have varying difficulties, trials, troubles, some great, some not so great. But we all struggle. None of us wear a smile all the time. Help us to trust in you in the midst of the troubles, and to look with gloomy old Jacob at the blessings that you have promised and the promises you will keep through Jesus our Lord. Amen.